This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power 98.7, progressively elevating the conversation. Now we're talking.
All right, it's 19:34 on Power Business. It's also a Thursday. It means that we get the C-suite in studio when we speak about life in the C-suite, but also becoming an executive in South Africa's very fast-paced and interesting business world. And tonight, I'm joined by Managing Director at advisory and software service firm Accelerate, Tepiso Tsukudu. Hi, Tepiso. How are you?
Hi, Alexandra. Thanks for having me, and thanks to the rest of the team.
You're not too shy. Thank you for being here, Tepiso. Thank you for coming into studio, honoring our invitation. I think before we get into you and your work, talk to us about you, where you're from, and what you studied, what kind of a kid you were. Let's talk about that.
Right, sure thing. Well, my name is Tepiso. Mm-hmm. I'm a boy from Tembisa.
Okay.
Went to primary school there, went to high school there, got myself a little bursary.
Mm-hmm.
Started BCom Accounting at the University of Pretoria. Dropout, by the way.
Okay.
From there, I joined Sage, a software firm in South Africa, as a tech support consultant, supporting various clients on accounting and payroll software. Post that, I became a national trainer and an international trainer. Further got promoted into a product specialist for the pre-sales team. And finally, got met with a very great opportunity to become an executive manager, mm-hmm. where I was an exec for finance and operations at IISA. And after that, I decided then to, join Accelerate full-time as a, by then it was a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined it full-time as an executive director. And in the past 2 years or so, I've been running it as managing director.
Amazing. I want to speak about dropping out of BCom Accounting. Sure. I studied accounting myself, so I understand. One thing I understand about accounting also is the fact that, it's either you love it or you don't.
Yeah.
What was happening with you?
All right. It's a funny story, actually.
Yeah.
I wanted to do actuary,
mm-hmm.
and then to do accounting as well. But the number of board exams put me off in actuary.
Okay.
So I'm quite a pragmatic person.
I
decided
that.
Then to do BCom Accounting, 15 versus 2.
Yeah.
Didn't ever get to see the 2 anyway, But it's just been about being practical about life and then just seeking the next opportunity for me. And when I realized that my journey in accountancy was not so fun then at the time, I quit. I then, luckily enough, I still stood a chance to be employed by Sage.
Mm.
And then from there, I realized that it's still school. Education is important.
Yeah.
So I still fed up my studies.
Love that.
Eventually I did qualify. Yeah.
Very, very interesting indeed. I know accounting, for me, for instance, I loved it in the classroom, but when I started to practice, I thought I was going to die. So we have different things there with regards to just what happens in the classroom versus actually working. I want to speak about your first gig at Sage and what that was like, and also realizing that this would be the place that you might be able to build a long-term career.
All right, perfect. my first gig was at Sage, but if I were to take it much back, I started tutoring accounting and mathematics in high school. Under the guidance of Dimension Data and Advarsity. People find this funny. At some point, I was handing out flyers at traffic lights just to make an extra buck.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. From there, at University of Pretoria as well, I became a contact center agent,
mm-hmm.
taking calls and advising clients on their different student queries. Post that, I then, when I joined Sage, the first thing that I did was actually being a call center agent. Being screamed at, yelled at, it's not my company, guys, but
I just work here.
If you're going to represent a brand, you have to do what you have to do. But quite a tough job, I think, but then it builds character. I think just like any other sort of first kind of formal job, it does build your character. And
I think it's very interesting here. What's very clear also to people is that you've always been a hard worker. Let's talk about your work ethic.
Well, sometimes I'm very lazy,
mm-hmm.
As
most
to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's time to work, it's time to work. You've got to pay the bills. You have to think about not just yourself, but the responsibility that you carry and society and your team and the guys that are actually joining your team and people who inspire to actually do something that you do. So you have to be consistent, you know. You have to have a routine, as much as it is boring, you know. You have to plan ahead. You always have to show up, you know, even in difficult circumstances. You have to show up. You mess up, you show up. You do well, you show up. I think that's just my sort of mantra, if I may say.
What's it showing up every day that got you to climb that ladder at stage? Because it's an important one. There, many people, you know, enter a role and then they just kind of get stuck there, you know. And I'm wondering about the issue of being able to be noticed, to climb, being able to push yourself, being able to put your name out there, yourself out there to see, do you see the work that I'm doing? What was that journey like for you?
Still a funny story. I think within 9 months I was like, yo, I'm tired of this, let me go find an accounting firm and do articles. However, a job opportunity came first for a trainer. I think one of the trainers who was very much experienced was leaving the company. I wasn't ready, but I actually put up my CV and I said, hey, I want this job. But I said, I don't meet this requirement. But if you give me an opportunity over this weekend, I can actually give you probably 20% of what you need on this. And probably by the end of the year, I'll be the guy that you want.
Wow.
And Bobby's your uncle.
Oh, that is actually very interesting. It's an interesting story because I think it's also speaks to courage here. Let's talk about confidence. Being able to be like, yeah, I tick, I don't tick. But if you give me, you just give me that little space, I'll come in and I'll shine. That takes a lot of confidence. It also requires a little bit of cheek. Good cheek, I think.
Well, at the time, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get out of taking calls and being yelled at.
Mm-hmm.
But you are right. It does require a bit of confidence, self-belief. And if you're going to commit to something, you know, see through and make the people believe that actually, if you give this guy a task, he will see through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then did the entrepreneurship bug bite, or were you always a person who had a side hustle?
Always had a side hustle. Started in primary school. Mm-hmm. Those that remember me, I used to sell sweets and chocolates at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know these vending machines where you would actually just like put a coin and then you would like grab a watch.
Yes. And the sponge. I think was it a sponge?
Yes, it was a sponge. So I'd do that, grab the watches, and then I'd sell them the following day at school.
Interesting. You know? So interesting.
My source of capital was covered with a bit of gambling there.
Interesting.
So over the years, it's just been selling, tutoring. I've started a tutoring business. I used to sell umbrellas. I used to sell hot water bottles. So back in the day, this would have been my season. I'd be killing it right now.
Yeah. Peak season. It's peak season.
It is.
It's very, very interesting also that entrepreneurial side of you, because it bit at some point and it bit you to the point of being happy to let go completely of full-time employment to really pursue, you know, Accelerate. Talk to us about Accelerate and what it does.
All right. So we are an advisory firm. We offer compliance services and accounting, tax, HR as well. And over and above that, which is probably like actually 80% of our business, we are a Sage business partner. Mm-hmm. We implement ERP solutions, payroll solutions. We train, we support, and we do some consulting work as well.
Mm-hmm. And you lead this now. So, I mean, of course, it might be different to having led people as middle management somewhere in a company as big as Sage. Now you're the boss. I want to speak about being the boss and what that means, what it's even taken out of you as a human being to be able to lead people and to get them to come back every day, because people quit.
Well, I've had people quit. I've had so many people quit.
Yeah.
On us. But honestly speaking,
it's hilarious.
It is quite hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I quit every day, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, but I still have to show up. But,
yeah.
It's one of those where you just need to keep on inspiring the team. You need to share your vision. You need to share the vision that you have for them. And you need to know what they want for themselves as well.
Mm.
And the more you create that sort of alignment, it does allow for, you know, the guys to actually show up for you, because of they know that at any given time you will show up for them.
Yeah. There's also the issue of selling. And I tell you, you've sold lots of things. I mean, I've heard of people selling sweets and chocolates at school, but umbrellas and hot water bottles, it really is next level. That means that you were always good at being able to put a product forward and getting people to buy in here. How do you use those skills to advance Accelerate?
All right. So, I mean, And I'm grateful for one person who once said to me that, you know, you've got to have a transferable skill. And sales tends to be one of them, because I could sell water today, I could sell devices tomorrow. I really took that and I ran with it. I think that's what really helped in that. To say, you have the skill of sales, because without sales, there's no business. There is no business.
Yeah. What is a day in the life of the MD of Accelerate like?
All right. On a very good day,
I
woke up at 10 a.m.
That's fantastic.
And go to the golf course.
Yeah.
And come back, you know, at 7 p.m. have dinner and sleep. Ideally.
In an ideal world. I was about to say, what kind of business is this?
But in most cases, you sort of have a plan in it. Every morning. I want to do this and I'll do this. But what tends to happen is you wake up and that client is unhappy about something and you have to troubleshoot. Your team member is starting struggling with something, or management is struggling with something. You have to then coach and you have to question, you know. But after that all is done, you just have to sit, plan, execute and review. That's all I do.
One of the important things of being the boss is having a strategy. People are looking to you for leadership. They also want to know that where they work, there's a direction. Where they work, you know, you have plans for them, because that's exactly how it works when you are the boss. I want to speak also about that, you know, being able to lead at teams, but also being able to put together a strategy and then, like you say, follow it through every single day, doing the little things that you need to do to make up the big thing.
Right. I mean, you know, we all have dreams.
Yeah.
Right? But post a dream, there has to be some sort of strategy. How am I going to get there? And once you evaluate that it's a realistic strategy, then you create the plans. And I think with the team, you have to bring them closer to say, here's what I'm trying to achieve this year. I mean, post-COVID, my biggest strategy was always staying afloat. Mm-hmm. We just want to keep things the same and with just 0.01 improvement, you know? And just sharing with the team and whatever's happening currently, what you're trying to achieve, and then just being authentic with them, you know? I mean, since COVID, it's been really tough, you know?
Yeah.
But we have to be grateful that we still survived the pandemic and we can still push, we can still service businesses. And
what was that COVID-19 period like?
For us, it was actually funny. We had some very good contracts. We were doing well, we were implementing, but then we got the whiplash.
Yeah.
So it actually hit us post-COVID, because at some point we had like 6 to 8 months of cash flow runway. Once those projects completed, we started eating into that bit by bit. At some point we were hand-to-mouth kind of business. Whatever we make this month, we eat this month. Not having an investment strategy and the like, because you can't really invest if there isn't excess funds. But yeah, it was, we were prepared, but we were not prepared for post the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about post the pandemic. What was it about that period? Has the tide changed?
I think it has. We are seeing, especially now with the elections being over, but we are seeing more of a positive outlook in the business environment. Businesses are growing, giving us opportunity for us to actually service them. The increasing employee counts, we're there giving them the right software. They went from buying and selling using Excel. We are giving them, you know, an entry-level business package all the way to an ERP system as the businesses expand or the strategy changes, and they actually want something that's going to actually consolidate. Some businesses are being bought over by others, you know. There are opportunities.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole thing of there are opportunities, it can be a very tricky one, because I think there are many environments where from the outside it looks like nothing is happening. But you have to go there and find these opportunities. You have to be at the right place at the right time. The brand has to be out there. And I guess also there's reputation, where you've done good work for somebody else and by word of mouth you get more business. But how do you make sure that, you know, Accelerate is top of mind and the sector that you play in is also rather competitive?
Right. The clients that we have, they're the biggest priority. I mean, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but you know, it's better to spend more to keep that line that you have than to actually spend more trying to acquire new clients.
Yeah, some ghost that might not exist.
100%. So what tends to happen is that then through word of mouth, the guys actually become our business development managers. You know,
Amazing.
they represent as well. They give us good leads, and some And if you service them here, Power might have a CFO today, but mm-hmm. they might be somewhere else tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if they were serviced very well, when they get there, they know who to call.
You
know?
I get that.
So it's been that. And predominantly our business has been referral-based. Mm-hmm. Although we do have a strong, you know, social media reach and online presence, but referral has sustained us. And people refer if they know that they can rely. Mm. They just need to send you a number and a name, and they know that nothing will come back to them.
That's actually really, really, really wonderful to hear. I want to speak about your career now as you look back on it. If you could have been that actuary, would you have gone ahead with it? If you had been the CA, would you have gone ahead with it? Is this your perfect, is this, you know, your ideal career? Does it look like exactly how you'd planned it or wanted it?
I just go with the tide, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm practical with life, whatever that's presented to me. I try to solve those problems, which has led in me actually starting other ventures. You know, we've got a tech business that does hosting. Mm. We are developing a software product now where we're going to be, for accountants, for asset management, and for a niche market where there's rental asset management, where they need proper recording and revenue recognition. So it's just looking for opportunities and then really validating if they would be received by the market. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and you work towards it.
And like you say, as a pragmatic person, you always also have to be able to pivot in the time of crisis. Like you're saying, COVID-19, completely a new challenge. You survive hand to mouth, of course, and then the tide does change. And then, of course, new opportunities present themselves. I want to speak about that also, being able to see this is an opportunity worth chasing and maybe this one not so much. I see there's an opportunity there, but that's not the opportunity that we should be chasing. How do you think through some of those that are presented to you?
All right. I think it's a 50-50 with me. Sometimes I'm not risk averse, so I would take the risks where I need to. But sometimes, you know, with the program that we are developing currently, it's something that we actually took our time and analyzed the market and we saw product fit. So it's more of a 50-50 because, I mean, some you just need to ride the wave as it happens and you get out. You know, it's more speculative. But sometimes you just need to sort of drive long-term value. And as an entrepreneur, you know, you just need to, follow your gut, I think. Yeah.
Also, the interesting aspect of people who might have come before you, people who saw something in you, mentored you, gave you a chance. Maybe it's that first contract, I want to speak about also that and who those people might have been for you.
All right. One of the guys, the late Ralph Matluku, is actually very influential in the Chamber of Commerce. I used to service one of his businesses. He would really take his time. I mean, I would go in the afternoons to just do his books. Mm-hmm. And after that, I'll say, sit down, let's talk. You know,
that's nice.
That really helped. But I think if you've got the desire to be inspired, there are people that you look up to and you sort of take what you can take to build yourselves, you know. Even the likes of Kevin Mkari, I wouldn't say he's my mentor, but from a distance, I'm like, he did it and it's possible, you know. You don't have to think small. You can really do the great things that are there in the market. So it's really that. I'm in accountancy, so I see clients' books and I'm like, how the hell are you making this kind of idea? How the hell are you running it so lean?
So it helps ask
the right questions as well. But then I think the basis of all is having the hunger to be inspired, you know, putting yourself out there and wanting to see things and then taking what will work for you.
I love that. Let's talk about the hardest part of your job. Yeah, you know, the part where when it happens or at the time when it's time to do it, you're like, yo, okay. What makes it tough?
My team would laugh at this. Month end. It hits us twice.
Payroll. Yeah?
Payroll suppliers, then.
Oh, yes.
After that, it's also then the client spec that we do. Because it's month end and we need to be submitting. So it sort of becomes high pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's actually just ensuring that, you know, you can do right by your people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the hardest part. Even though we carry it with a smile, it is very, very hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With that said, and speaking about people, how would you describe your leadership style?
Very casual. I've always inspired to sort of a flat structure, but sometimes it works.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So I'll quite.
And I swear.
Okay.
I swear more than I should, but I do get upset. I think when people trust your heart, they see beyond that. They see beyond you shouting. They see beyond, and it's not in an abusive tone. You know,
yeah, yeah.
But it's like, you know, WTF.
Yeah. What's happening? Thinking? Yeah.
But beyond that, it's just the people really do trust your heart. Mm-hmm. They can really see beyond the anger. They can, but I mean, they're friends. Mm. You know, they can call me. They call me Khrupman. They call me Abuti. Mm-hmm. You know, but then we have that relationship.
What will you tell little Tippy Souls about running a business in South Africa?
Little Tippy Soul running a business in South Africa. Well, in the world, because I mean, we exposed globally at the stage, you know. But it's not as fun as it looked like it did on Generations.
Like ISIS, you know, New Horizons.
New Horizons, you know, corner office things, politics right there. Mm-hmm. Then it's quite tough. It does demand of you, but it's worthwhile. It is worthwhile. It's fulfilling.
And what does success look like for Accelerate in your role as MD there? How do you measure your success at Epison? How do you know that you're constantly, upping yourself? You're not kind of staying stagnant in the same spot.
All right. I think, that's Accelerate and my personal ambitions are very much tied.
Yeah.
It's seeing the team grow, number one. At some point, we are just... I've got a friend who's like, hey, your fly by night finally paid off, you know.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Because we started very small and we tried to push, but now it's formalized. We've got systems running, we've got ambitions of, I mean, we are now on this 10x hype and we can see that it'll work, we involved in the right type of relationships with our clients and our stakeholders and partners. So, and for me, that really signifies success. And I mean, one of the highlights is the fact that over the past 5 years, we've probably trained about 500 unemployed youth.
That's amazing.
I mean, as you'd know that, and through a partnership with Sage, you would know if you're applying for an accounting job, they'll be saying Sage is an advantage.
Yes.
So we try to give them those skill sets to have that advantage. And I mean, seeing that and seeing guys saying, I got that job, you know, bumping to somebody and saying, hey, dude, some even get the job while they've been trained because they'll get this first certification and while they're still applying, they say, hey, I've got this. And then they get the job. So that's also fulfilling for us.
I must also ask you, you're a young person, you're a business person in South Africa. Let's talk about what you hope for us as a country, because of course when you're leading a business, you like you're saying, you're part of this bigger environment. It's bigger than you. We are just about to go into a new government. We've got high unemployment, like you've mentioned. The economy is not quite growing. What do you hope that we can do for ourselves, what we can really turn around, our pressure points?
I think just if we can just maintain the economic policies right, and then make them more progressive, invest more in an industrial economy, and also just, the biggest fight, have the right people in the right positions in government. And, I mean, having them drive the right interests for South Africans would mean that everything will just fall into place.
And for our listener who might be like, I think I could really use Tepiso services, where can people go to find out about the business, find out what you do, and how they even may be able to take advantage of how far you've come?
All right, perfect. We are open for business. I think I'll first start with our office number.
Yeah.
It's 010-534-6153. Mm-hmm. They can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Accelerate ZA. Accelerate with an X, AXCELERATE. And also at our website, www.accelerate.co.za. And they can also find me on all social media platforms as Tepiso Siguru.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me as well.
Wonderful.
I appreciate it.
Wonderful. And congratulations on the wonderful work you're doing. Look forward to hearing and reading about you in life at Tepiso.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.